EMZT Radio is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/EMZT. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
In the box.
I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna bash your brains in.
No. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Oh, no tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
You're staying. This isn't a democracy anymore.
This is now the United States of
EMZT Radio.
They mostly come at night. Mostly.
Welcome to another episode of EMZT Radio. I am Bane Hellborn with my partner, the infamous MJ.
Hello, everybody. Your friendly neighborhood Space Pope is back. And don't forget, Arby's is not a shithole. Anyways, continue. That is an unpaid advertisement for Arby's.
Mediterranean Greek tacos.
They have the meats. Okay, anyways. Sorry, I like Arby's. What can I say?
It's good.
Arby's, by the way, if anybody from Arby's is listening, please sponsor the show. Ingratiate us with free Arby's and curly fries, especially the damn fries.
Yes, Arby's curly fries are the best.
And again, this is not paid. Arby's has the best fries.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, no, I take that back. I'm sorry. Second best fries behind Five Guys.
Oh, I haven't. That's in your area. I'm sorry.
I don't need to lie to our podcasting public. Five Guys still has the best fries, but Arby's is a close second.
Okay. So I agree.
Okay. Glad we got that out the way. Oh my. We have some
Someone's news. Hungry.
Somebody is hungry. Somebody's got a pork ready to go. I made awesome pork roast. One of these days, if we ever live near each other, we're gonna have to do that. We're going to have to start doing YouTube videos, dinner party in a movie.
That would be a video.
That would be such a video. Hey, speaking of food, reason why I bring it up is great news for you people that love horror on Netflix, because our favorite horror-com is coming back for a third season. The Santa Clara Diet has
already
been renewed for a third season. So full disclosure, I'm probably now the only person in America that doesn't have Netflix.
Oh, you unfortunate bastard.
Well, it's not that. It's just finances.
Yes, I know. I know.
But I'm thinking about diverting my Amazon Prime money, which I'm pissed off with Amazon.
Yeah.
Please quit raising your rates every 6 months on Amazon Prime.
I know.
I may take my Amazon Prime money and divert it into Netflix again. Netflix is trying to get me to come back, but I was pissed off with everything that was leaving Netflix. And it seems like all the cool movies would be on Netflix, and then the next month they're gone. And that's what it started really irritating me.
Yeah. Yeah. So. But Santa Clarita Diet, it's just the chemistry between Timothy Oliphant and Drew Barrymore, their banter and chemistry is just so perfect. I mean, yeah, that's what sucks me in. It's them.
Oh my god, and Joel McHale is on. Oh, really? Joel McHale?
He's an asshole.
I love Joel McHale, so I hope that they bring his character back.
Oh, they will, because they're on the list to be eaten.
Oh, beautiful. I would love to see that.
Because they're rival realtors to... Sheila and Joel, they're rival. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So they're dicks.
Santa Clarita Diet is back for a third season. It is coming out in 2019. That it will be a 10-episode season, which I don't mind. Okay, for Netflix, I don't mind the six in 8 and 10 episode seasons for Netflix, because you don't have, you know, you can get away with a lot more Netflix, and you can advance. You're not, you know, sucked into a time slot, so you can have 2 hour shows that could be 10 episodes. I have no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm happy for it. I'm happy for Netflix. Great job, Netflix,
mm-hmm.
on bringing Santa Clarita Diet back. Another one, another bit of news that came out. See if I can't bring it back up. Hulu. Hulu, yes. It was reported by Bloody Disgusting. Hulu has made a 10-episode straight-to-series order for Light as a Feather from Awesomeness TV. Now, I'm going to admit right now, I have not seen it. I think Awesomeness TV is on Pluto.
So, oh, yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah, you might want to check this one out. Wattpad and Kelsey Grammer is involved with this. That's his Grammett Productions, I guess. Supernatural yeah. thriller is based on a story by Zoe Arson that has 2.9 million reads on Wattpad. I'm so glad the self-publishing is starting to take off. I have a friend of mine who might or might not be on this podcast. She's shy.
Oh.
Has written a fantasy book series that oh. is already picking up steam on Amazon. So she did the self-publishing thing too. She's starting to pick up steam, which means I'm probably going to need to find another coworker soon.
Oh, so maybe you should have her come over to your house and record an interview. So if she's shy,
I was thinking about that, but she lives yeah. like an hour away from me in Johnsonville. So, that,
oh,
but I'll talk to her about that when I go back to work next week. I'm off work this week, by the way.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, I was just saying, if she's shy, maybe just a little one-on-one, so she's not overwhelmed.
That's true. Created by Lee Fleming Jr., Light as a Feather follows 5 teen girls as they deal with the supernatural fallout stemming from an innocent game of Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board.
Oh.
Yep. When the girls start, and this is the, I guess, synopsis of what the series is. When the girls start dying off in the exact way it was predicted, the survivors must figure out why they're being targeted and whether the evil force is hunting them down is one of their own.
Ooh.
So there you go. That ought to be very interesting. So I would definitely give that one a look. Production is slated to begin in June. So I think right now you can do the Awesomeness TV and see what you got there. Oh,
okay.
And in movie news, actually, let's see. I think we have another television. Yes, we have another television thing here. Since we're let's keep it TV.
Okay.
The Vampire Chronicles is coming to television.
What?
Announced last year, Paramount Television and Anonymous Content have optioned the rights to 11 books. Anne Rice's Vampire Chronicles series. Yes, you all, you know what that includes.
Lestat.
Yes, we are, you know, we're all adults here. We know what that includes. Of course, led by the iconic character Lestat de Liancourt, Rice herself has been tapped to executive produce. Her son will be the writer and executive producer.
Nice.
Brian Fuller is also on board.
Oh,
last we heard, season one will cover Lestat, the second in Rice's book series set in the 18th century France. The story will be told from the viewpoint of Lestat, a young man desperate to break free from his life and become an actor in Gay Betty. But he ends up being turned into a vampire by Magnus. That's pretty mm-hmm. cool, actually. I like that. I like that we're finally getting the backstory. If you've read the books, you know the backstory. Lestat, blah 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 blah. That's not the point. Mm-hmm. It's finally coming to television, so I'm kind of excited.
Wow.
About this.
Well, now it all depends on who they cast for these roles, because if they have the wrong yeah. person in it, it'll fuck it up.
Yeah, I know. You have to have somebody with a lot of.
They have charisma. To. It's. Well, but Lestat is a a weird type of character to fill, because he's a good guy, he's a bad guy, he's deep, he's an asshole, you know.
He's very nuanced.
Yes. He's very nuanced, and yes, you need a really special type of actor to embody that.
Yes. So. Oh, by the way, John.
It was the same with Blade. Blade the series, they had the wrong guy as Blade. Fucked it all up.
Oh, by the way, John Lithgow is in the new Pet Sematary. Just to transition to movies real quick.
Oh, yes, I read that somewhere. Yeah.
So John Lithgow's in there. Before we get to the happy news, sad news this week, too. John Altamura, who played the Toxic Avenger.
Oh, yes. Was
found dead this week.
Yeah.
He had a heart attack, apparently, according to his family. He had a heart attack. In addition to Toxic Avenger 2 and Toxic Avenger 3, remember, he was not the actor who did Toxic Avenger 1.
No.
Just to remind everybody.
He was 2 and 3. Yeah, definitely.
He did Heaven Becomes Hell, Young Nurses in Love, which we've all seen, I'm sure, Party Girls, New York Nights, and always the family-friendly Naked Detective, which you can watch at 3 a.m. on Showtime.
Right.
But yes, the Toxic Avenger has died.
Oh.
This week, sad, sad news.
And he was like, what, 56 or something?
Yeah.
He was very young.
He was very young.
Yeah.
But we did get some good movie news. And this is not horror, but I wanted to do it because this is one of my favorite non-horror franchises. We have the new Bill and Ted
movie. No way.
Yes, it has been officially announced. Bill and Ted Face the Music. That's right. Bloom announced today, or today being the 8th of May, that Johnny! And yes, Alex Winter is back as well. Will officially be reuniting on screen after 27 years as the legendary Ted. Wait a minute, I gotta do it right here. Ted Theodore. I can't do good Keanu. Ted Theodore Logan.
Yeah.
And Bill S. Preston Esquire. In the highly anticipated third installment of Bill and Ted with Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Okay, so what does that mean? Face the Music. What are they facing?
What we have here is basically the synopsis. When we last met Bill and Ted, they were time-traveling teenagers trying to pass history class and win the Battle of the Bands. Once prophesized to save the universe with their rock and roll, middle-aged and the responsibilities of family have caught up with the two best friends who have not yet fulfilled their destiny. Uh-oh. They've written thousands of tunes, but yet to have written a good one. Much less the greatest song ever written. Pick a Destiny! with the fabric of time and space tearing around them, a visitor from the future warns our heroes that only their song can save life as we know it. Out of luck and fresh out of inspiration, Bill and Ted set out on a time travel adventure that will seek the song that will set their world right. I can't read today. Bring harmony to the universe as we know it. Together, with the aid of their daughters and a new crop of historical figures and some sympathetic musical legends, Bill and Ted find much, much more than a song. The film is currently in pre-production, and I haven't even told you the best news yet.
There's more.
William Sandler is back as Death.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Is he going to be helping them?
Yes, Death is back. Well, that's the only way they can time travel is with Death, isn't it?
Death in the phone booth. Yeah, that's true. That's true. He's one of the ways, but yeah. I wonder who they're going to have as Rufus, if Rufus is going to be in it.
I don't know. They have not said yet if Rufus is back.
Yeah, because, you know, do you remember they did try a Bill and Ted TV series, and it really flopped.
I know.
it flopped bad.
You know what? I just remembered who Rufus was because I blanked on him for just a minute, but then I realized.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. The man we need the most in this time.
Oh, man. Yeah. He needs to be here. He needs to straighten this shit out.
We need to bring George Carlin back from the.
We need George Carlin.
Hey, more fun Netflix news. And again, it's not really horror, but it can be horror if you want it to be. We all own them. Funko Pops.
Yep.
If you don't own a Funko Pop, why are you listening to this podcast? You need to go buy right now.
How are we friends if you don't have a Funko?
How are we friends? Like, how are you alive in this culture? Well, there's going to be a documentary coming to Netflix. Making Fun, the story of Funko, is actually coming out in 2 weeks, May 24th.
That's awesome.
Yes. So there you go. Making Fun. Funko.
Aww.
Funko. Boy, I have just dominated this fucking segment, haven't I?
Yeah, do I get to speak?
Yeah, you get to. I don't know. Did you say please? I'm kidding.
Pretty Please with Sugar on Top.
So what you got this week there, since we got rid of the headlines?
Well, now you just blew it all. I know. I was going to say, TV-wise, there's also more news about Don Mancini is moving his Child's Play series to TV.
Yes!
With the franchise producer Frank Kirshner. He says it's going to be darker, 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 and very creepy. It's going to take off from where the last movie ended, and they're going to keep the series going on through TV. This is what they'd like to do. They're still going to have Brad Dourif do the voice of Chucky because he is Chucky.
He is Chucky. He will be Chucky forever.
Yeah. And Brad's daughter is going to be in it too.
Awesome.
And they don't have when production is going on or company's picking it up. They don't have that yet.
You have not made a mention of a certain character.
Which character? Tiffany?
Yes. Who's playing Tiffany?
Yeah, no, it's not in here. None of that's set up yet.
Oh, that means Jennifer Tilly hasn't signed on yet. And if it's not Jennifer Tilly, I'm not watching. Sorry.
Yeah. It doesn't mention anything other than Brad and that Don wants to put his series to TV. So we'll see where it goes from there.
Get on board, Jenny. Please, Jennifer, get on board.
That is if they're going that way. Because remember, wasn't she killed?
Tiffany? She was putting one of the dolls. I don't remember the fate of Tiffany.
No, she was killed because she birthed and she died.
That's right. Okay, yeah, you make a point.
Oh,
okay.
Wait, no.
Her soul was put into a doll.
Into another doll. She was put into another doll, and yeah, she had the twins. Right.
Yeah, Chucky and Tiffany cannot die because their souls are trapped in dolls.
Right.
And they could just go to another doll.
Yep. Plus, Tiffany jumped in. No, she jumped to Jennifer Tilly to be her, to be an actress. Yeah. So that's what happened.
Okay.
That's right. That's right.
But she could jump right back into a doll. They could have Jennifer Tilly come on in the first episode and she could.
Oh.
She could be killed and then Tiffany goes back to the doll and Jennifer Tilly just does the voice of Tiffany.
She was also in The Cult.
Yes. So there you go. I think we solved the problem. Right there.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. See there. Right.
I forgot about that. That's right.
Yeah. So got anything else?
Ryan Murphy might be creating a new anthology series.
Oh my God. How many more?
he just keeps coming up with these ideas.
Well, okay. He's hit two home runs so far with American Horror Story and American Crime Story.
Yeah. And this new one might be called Consent.
Ooh.
based on true exploits of Harvey Weinstein. Oh my God.
Yes, we need this.
Who, since the allegations began, has lost both his company and his standing in Hollywood. Oh, well,
why don't you just make that an American Crime Story
season? Really? Really? I mean,
I'd rather make that an American Crime Story season than go on a whole nother level of fucked upness.
And say what else is going on here, but they're going to be drawing from real life events. Ew. Yes. Ew, that could be bad.
Well, I hope that they get some of these actresses permission to retell their story, because
like Jennifer Lawrence
and oh God, I knew I'd forget her name the minute I don't think about it a lot. Who used to date Marilyn Manson? Paige.
Oh, from Supernatural. Yeah. Oh shoot, what is her name?
I know.
Rose McGowan. There
Rose
we go.
Rose McGowan, yeah.
Rose McGowan. Oh, you bet.
Yeah, who is, from what all intents and purposes, has completely gone off the deep end, which I don't blame her. She's got to relive all that shit.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it weird how she's taken a real turn? Oh.
I don't blame anybody for going way off the deep end. Don't they have to relive that thing. Oh, we got something else. Well, we could talk about this in another segment. I think that's what we're going to do. I, after the break, am going to quiz Bane on some of the most famous actors who got their start in horror films. I want to see if she can't recognize them.
Here we go.
Right now, let's spin the hits right here on the MZT Radio.
Comes, you can't fight. I know you are lonely. Time is standing still. Wild one, when the night has begun, you summon the only one who can fulfill. Whisper my name, I will be there. Dark is our love, a secret we share. The vampire's kiss thrills you as it burns. The lord of the night, your sire returns. Trust me, give yourself completely. Contradiction, strange illusion, truth is fiction. When day turns to darkness, we make our connection. Vampire lovers, bleeding affection. Our love, a secret we share. The vampire's kiss thrills you as it burns. The lord of the night, your sire returns. Whisper my name, I will be there. Dark is our love, a secret we share. The vampire's kiss thrills you as it burns. The lord of the night, your sire returns. Whisper my name, I will be there. Lord of the night, lord of the
Chronicity, a state of prolonged duration, recurrent, habitual, chronic.
A new miniseries on chronic pain and illness by your friends Matt and Phil from Semi-Intellectual Musings.
We go beyond medical diagnosis to explore the often forgotten political, social, and personal sides.
You'll hear stories from extraordinary people overcoming extraordinary challenges.
Authors, entrepreneurs, volunteers, coaches, and caregivers.
They are so much more than their diagnoses, yet each have found ways to persevere.
You'll also hear some familiar voices from the indie podcast community,
showing that art, creativity, and passion are possible while living in chronicity.
These stories and more, starting April 1st at thesim.podbean.com.
You may have escaped from my arena. I'm glad the clutches are battle-ready. You may have given back the course of Lamia, chanted in a mere bloody Mary. There is one being so terrifying, none of the others can scare you like he can. He's the tall, emaciated, faceless ghoul. The one they call Slenderman. Slenderman, Slenderman, the tall, emaciated Slenderman. Jesus tasty too, but my favorite creepypasta requires no face in a business suit. He's Slenderman, he's Slenderman, waist 26 for Slenderman,
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 and he's killing all the
kids because he can. You might not fear the rake. And you may have made it through No End House. You might not fear Jeff the Killer. And you may have sat through Suicide Mouse. But when you're wandering through creepy forest, collect all 8 pages if you can. Then you might escape these tentacles
of
Chalamet. Here's where the tale comes to an end. No matter what you think Slenderman is tell you, that's no excuse to stab your friend.
Okay,
Slenderman,
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 Slenderman.
Exercise and keep some
Slenderman,
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 Slenderman.
And he's killing all the
kids because he can.
Shit has hit the fan.
Slenderman, Slenderman,
Slenderman,
Slenderman,
It's a bad idea. Slenderman. I hope those kids burn in hell. I really do. Fuck those little bitches.
Oh, that's great.
All right, it is time to question Miss Hellborn over here on her horror history knowledge, because a lot of people have said that you are the more stronger horror historian than I am.
Oh, okay.
That was the people, by the way, are the voices in my head. all right.
Yeah.
So, but since both of us have done a long history of horror and watched horror basically all our lives, we recognize these people, and you recognize these people as big time, huge celebrities, but everybody has to get their start somewhere.
Mm-hmm, right.
And for a lot of our big names, that start came in a horror film. Now it was,
and sometimes they're bad ones.
Really bad ones in some cases. Now it could be, you know, not all of them died in their horror debuts, but some did. Some have, even some have some of the most iconic death scenes in horror.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to those right here. But right now, what I'm going to do is, Bane, I am going to give you the actor. You are going to supply me with the movie.
Okay.
I'll give you three guesses on each one, but two or three of them are pretty obvious.
Okay.
All right. Our first, we're going to start easy in the first one here.
All right. Warm
me
up.
Kevin Bacon.
Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th, 1980. And yes, he died.
Yes, he died.
Right. Johnny
through
Depp.
The throat. Yes, oh, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nightmare on Elm Street. Yep.
Yes.
All right. Let's see here. I'm trying to give you easy ones. Oh, here's one. Now we're going to move up to the advanced level. Now that we've thrown a couple warm-up tosses.
Mm-hmm.
George Clooney. There are two possible answers for this, but either one is acceptable.
Ooh. There was one, Return to Nightmare High. Is that
close
one?
Enough. Return to Horror High is one of them.
Horror High. Ah, yeah.
For bonus points, do you know the movie that he's probably more known for? More people probably thought that was his debut movie, since more people saw it.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes 2.
1988. He also, by the way, appeared in Grizzly 2, the concert.
Oh, see, I didn't see that one. Yeah.
Well, nobody has, because it's not finished.
Yeah. Ah!
I haven't seen that one. No, nobody else has either. All right. There actually is a second. No, I'm sorry. Okay. Now for the next one. Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt was in a horror film.
Well, besides Seven.
Besides Seven.
Besides, shoot.
Do you need a hint?
Yes, please.
The year is 1989.
Ooh. Wait, was he in, shit, what was that called? Is it Horror 101 or something like that? Something like that.
No.
It was about how to be a serial killer.
Close enough. It's Cutting Class.
That's it. That's what I was thinking about, because it's called Horror 101.
Cutting Class, yeah.
Cutting Class, that's it.
All right. Let's go with Jennifer Aniston.
Leprechaun.
Yes. It's true. And you know, that was a year before Friends went on the air.
I know. So weird.
That's strange. Now, Charlize Theron has been in quite a few horror movies.
Okay.
Do you remember her first?
Shit. No, actually, I don't.
All right, I'll give you a hint. It's a well-known franchise, but it wasn't the first movie of it.
That helps. No, actually, I don't know that
one. All right, hint number two. The year was 1995.
Ah, shit, you're killing me.
Ah, gotcha!
You're killing me. That, I'm stumped.
Children of the Corn 3.
Nuh-uh.
Yep. Charlize Theron was in Children of the Corn 3 Urban Harvest.
No way!
She was actually an acolyte in the Corn cult.
Oh, well, that's why she probably didn't have a speaking part.
Yeah. Okay. This one's going to be a little easier.
Okay.
We're going to give you a 2-for-1 deal.
Okay.
Matthew McConaughey and Renee Zellweger. And I should point out, I'll give you a huge hint on this one.
No, I saw that. It was Texas Chainsaw Massacre Generations, I think.
The next generation,
yeah.
For those of you who don't know, McConaughey actually kills Renee Zellweger in the movie.
Yeah. And he had a mechanical leg that was run by a remote control.
Yes. All right, this one's the most recent on the list.
Okay.
3-time Oscar nominee Octavia Spencer.
Oh, okay. Mm-mm.
You're going to kick yourself.
Yeah, I probably will. Go ahead.
Drag Me to Hell.
Oh, shit. That's right.
Yep. All right, we got two. We got actually, I think, 3 more. Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, shit.
People forget he got his start. It's a real young Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, like 10. Critters. Critters
3, yeah. Critters 3. Yeah. All right. I got 2 hard ones coming up. Extremely hard ones for you.
Mm-hmm. Good.
All right. Jennifer Connelly.
Oh, what is it? It was called Creepers or Phenomenon. It was a Dario Argento film. Yep. A Phenomenon is what I knew it as.
Phenomena, yeah.
Yeah. Or all Creepers, right. Yeah.
This one might be very hard because this one's kind of an obscure film, I think.
Okay.
Tom Hanks.
Oh, wow. Shit. Shit, 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 shit. I only knew him in that TV one, but that wasn't quite a horror.
No, this is even before that.
Before that? Oh.
Yep.
No, nothing's coming to mind.
Year?
Yeah.
1980.
Shit. 1980, Tom Hanks.
It was a horrible movie, by the way.
Probably I've actually seen it.
It's awful.
No, go ahead.
It's not horror trash quality, but it's there. We might do it on horror trash. He Knows You're Alone.
See, that's the one I haven't seen. Yeah.
And guess what Tom Hanks plays in that? If you remember early 80s Tom Hanks.
He was the killer.
No, he was an amiable, affable college kid.
Oh.
As he was in every other freaking movie.
Yeah, he was the good guy. Always the good, nice guy.
Okay, you might remember him for a movie done later that year, Crispin Glover.
Oh. Yeah, that was a Friday the 13th film.
Yes, it was. Bonus points if you can tell me the movie he starred in later that year that was extremely iconic.
Oh, shit. Nope. Nope.
Ever heard of a character named George McFly?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He played the young George McFly in a little movie called Back to the Future.
That's right.
But Crispin Glover got his start in Friday the 13th, The Final Chapter.
His death scene was pretty bad. He was strung up.
Oh, dear.
He was strung up with corkscrew. Oh, corkscrew. Oh, that's terrible.
Here we are with another good one. Tony Goldwyn.
Tony Goldwyn. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
He was also in a very iconic horror franchise.
Other than Ghost.
Yeah, other than Ghost. He was the asshole in Ghost.
He was the asshole in Ghost. Yeah. Nope. Nothing's coming to mind. I'm sorry.
1986.
86. Shit. 86. Oh! That's another Friday the 13th, part 6.
Yes, Jason Lives. He was in that
one. Yes.
Oh, dear. Let's see. We've done George Clooney. Oh. Oh, these last two are going to get you.
Okay.
Jeez, I think there's two more left. Yeah, there's two left. Okay. Paul Rudd. You know him now as Ant-Man, but Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd. He was in Halloween, Curse of Michael Myers.
Six, yes, Halloween six.
Yep.
And the last one. Let's see if you get this one.
Okay.
I got to roll back. Richard Jenkins.
Jenkins. Why do I know that name? Richard Jenkins.
He's just basically been in everything that's Oscar nominated.
No, of course. Of course.
Only everything.
Yeah.
He's the Steve Buscemi of the 2010s, really. He's in every good movie.
Oh, man. No. I'm sorry. I'm drawing a blank on that one.
1987.
Shit. 87.
It's not a great movie, I'll admit right now. It's not a good movie.
No.
The Witches of Eastwick.
No!
He was in The Witches of Eastwick.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yes. Shit. That's right.
Well, there you go.
I didn't do too bad.
You didn't do horrible. You didn't do too bad. I mean, you know, nobody's going to call your expertise in horror history into question. Because there were quite a few of them on there that are pretty, you know, unless you've literally watched nothing but horror your entire life and remember every horror movie you've ever seen.
Yeah. No, there was quite a few I haven't seen.
Yeah. You weren't going to get some of the, a lot of people weren't going to get a lot of those, but you can, I'll put the link up for that. If you guys want to play that game, it's pretty cool actually. So
I
definitely want to check that out.
That was fun.
Back to the music after this.
There is no hope here. There is no future. We'll be right back.
Nice to meet ya. It's me. Yep, in the horns, baby. Come on, say my name. Dare ya? Double, no, triple dog dare ya. I'm a good judge of character, usually. But gotta admit, wouldn't have pegged you for a pussy. Your kind scares too easily. Guess you don't want these front row seats, talking real VIP shit, to the end of the world, huh? Gonna be the greatest show in the universe. Buckeye, Texas. Ground zero for the biggest, baddest, most epic takedown in human history. You thought the flood was bad? Please. That's rookie shit. You ain't seen nothing. Weapon of choice? Geminis. Cross a werepanther with a gargoyle and throw in some Lovecraftian spice for good measure. Pure, cosmic, flying badassness. One pissed off pussy. And his vixen mate. And who are they pissed off at and ready to enslave and slaughter? Huh, you good old folks, that's who. Not to mention the 12 Zodiac tribes. But you ain't interested, are ya? Cause you're a pussy. Huh? You and the Geminis have something in common. If you ever grow a set, check out the audio drama Paladin Cycle on fictionforadults.com.
From the-line-up.com, 5 real-life ghost stories that will make you question your sanity. Whether or not you consider yourself a true believer in the paranormal, chances are you've experienced something that couldn't be explained by anything but paranormal activity. You probably told yourself there's no way it could have been real. Well, it could have easily been. Here are 5 Reddit users who shared their haunting encounters with the paranormal. Number 1. Was it all in her head? About 3 a.m., Reddit user in a nutshell 210 woke up from a dream in a room of complete darkness. But it was not this that made the moment unsettling. Rather, it was the shadow figure standing in the doorway watching them. They sat up, flipped on the lights, and it was gone. Just like that. Could they have been caught in a sleepy haze and imagined the figure? Or had there really been something standing in the doorway? Number 2. Evidence of a haunted orb caught on camera. Liam had never been a believer in the paranormal. Now that he's older, though, things have changed. In the home he currently lives in, he has experienced a handful of strange happenings. One night, as he was drifting off to sleep, he saw a girl standing in the corner of his room. She wore a white hospital gown and had shoulder-length curly blonde hair and blood all over her face. As if this wasn't already creepy enough, she was grinning. He closed his eyes, believing it had to be some kind of illusion in his current state, so close to sleep. But when he opened his eyes, the girl was on his bed. Then suddenly, she was gone. Shaken, Liam tried to forget the experience, but he couldn't for long. Objects fall from his mother's bookcase for no apparent reason. His cat stares into thin air, and at night he swears he can hear someone tapping from inside the walls. He notes this next part of the story to be most important. While re-watching a YouTube video he made, Liam spotted an orb traveling behind him and up the door. Number 3. A cry for help. when Reddit user J227iffy woke after an average night of sleep, there was nothing particularly unusual happening. They began to doze off again on their side facing the wall. Then they heard scratching, and it was overcome by an uncontainable sense of dread, panic, anxiety, and fear. A tingling sensation covered their body and goosebumps rose. They tried to turn in bed but were frozen. Something in their gut said this was not a kind spirit. Even after the presence left, the strange tingling sensation continued. Number 4. A childhood recollection. When Reddit user Anons55 was about 9 years old, they were driving with their aunt and sitting in the passenger seat. They looked out the window and saw a ghost. It was entirely white with no outline, shape, or color, just a dim, see-through blob that floated beside the car, speeding up and slowing down to match the car's pace. It lingered for about 5 minutes before vanishing. They report being calmed and uninterested. After a few minutes of staring, they looked away. This was the only time this user had experienced anything remotely paranormal, and believes this is what ghosts look like in their natural form. Number 5. Ghost. When user 12D Richardson was 14, they found themselves home alone as their parents were out to dinner and their sister away. They just had some tea and needed to use the restroom. As they were in the bathroom, the door creaked open. This was strange because they had closed it tight. They closed the door again, taking extra care to make sure it was firmly locked in place. Then it opened again. They decided to open it completely since they were the only one home. And that was when they saw a ghostly pale figure standing just outside their parents' room, in the dark, across the hall from the bathroom. The figure stared for a few seconds, then vanished into thin air. And you are listening to EMZT Radio.
Run away. Live to fight another day. I'm the one that got away. The one you don't fuck with.
Do you like science fiction, action, and adventure?
Hours of console cleaning-based sexual innuendo?
The sound of the whole table yelling at one guy for rolling poorly.
inspirational anecdotes?
And have you ever fantasized about having your head being massaged by a psychic?
If so, follow the adventures of the crew of the Irritated Badger on the Chaotic Goodness podcast, coming every Monday on iTunes, Google Play, or anywhere else you find your podcasts.
Space adulting's hard.
Segment was that the Hollywood Reporter is now reporting that the South Korean creature film Monstrum has already pre-sold to multiple territories, and it has been picked up by the LLC AMC Network to be told in North America. Reading from the story, it says here, South Korean medieval creature film Monstrum has been pre-sold to multiple territories. Seoul-based sales banner Finecut announced on Thursday. Now, the deal has been struck for North America and the UK, including Ireland, Germany, Austria, Switzerland, and except for the French and Italian speaking pay TV, Singapore, Malaysia, Brunei, Indonesia, Vietnam, the Philippines, Taiwan, and Thailand. Emphasis landed the worldwide in-flight rights. The film, of course, is in post-production at the moment. It is inspired by true medieval records dating back to Korea's Joseon Kingdom. That's like 1392 to 1910. Monstrum is set during an epidemic outbreak, which rumors spread about a dreadful man-eating creature. And the film follows an unsung military official, his archery prodigy daughter, and a team of warriors that unite to fight the monster. Ha Jong-ho, who did The Advocate, is the filmmaker for this one. Kim Myung-min is the starring this one, as well as Choi Woo-shik and Lee Hi-rai. And that's a member of the K-pop group Girls' Day, for those of you who are wondering. In addition to Monstrum, Fine Cuts' Can Slate includes Lee Chang Dong's Burning, which is vying for the Palme d'Or. And the main competition is set to receive its world premiere on May 16th. The banner also presents upcoming animation family feature Red Shoes and the Seven Dwarfs. And starring the voice of Chloe Mortez and arm wrestler comedy champion, or comedy champion, which has already sold to multiple territories worldwide. Well, check that one out, as that one comes to North America very soon, and it is called Monstrum.
Irreverent, obnoxious, and very hateful. If you like your horror movie reviews full of snark and humor, then you'll want to watch me, Andy, the Bohemian Celt, on From Zen to Zombies, exclusively on YouTube.
From 1428elm.com, Hellraiser, a dealer of gruesome pleasures and bizarre myths. If you tear a person apart, can you find their soul or just their inner organs? This was a question posed by Clive Barker's original Hellraiser, which wasn't a critic's darling. Though the original Hellraiser inspired many sequels, most of those don't quite match the atmospheric original. It may be the power of its introduction, which offers no subtlety. In little time at all, you see a body being eviscerated, and the theme of pain mixed with pleasure becomes obvious instantly. It's short of cheap and tawdry, like pornography. It's a guilty pleasure. That is part of its appeal. Get it? Appeal? As in peeling off skin? When it comes down to it, this is what most critics couldn't and likely still can't handle. It's not a normal movie for normal people. Its themes are initially simple, unrefined, becoming only as complex as the viewer his or herself allows. It can be a very simple movie or very complex. We're tempted to say its shortcomings pretty much don't matter, as the movie is a statement that almost stands alone. If it is a generic horror movie, it's because the viewer couldn't assign it any other role. Perhaps that could be said of any movie, but for Hellraiser, this seems quite accurate. Hellraiser seems to suggest that although normal conventional love and marriage has obvious power, they can easily be overcome by darker urges. The puzzle box, then, likely represents the puzzle that is human sexuality, which always has its place in darkness. Quite simply, if we try to solve the puzzle, to understand our animal urges and our nature, it may be like staring into an abyss. No matter how profound we think love and sexuality is, it can be reduced to physical parts, like dissecting a frog or an earthworm. We are living things with organs for a while, and we eventually become dead things, and putrefaction sets in, then we rot. A set of functions. How bleak. In a way, this part of the story almost outshines its sillier aspects. Blood spilling on the attic floor to animate a corpse, for example. At the same time, this movie proposes its own hellish mythology, undeniably tying love, pain, torture, death, and demons together. And why not? The major religions all have their own quirky stories. Why should a horror movie be any different? Hellraiser proposes certain inroads to returning to life, regaining a physical form in conventional reality. Of course, that path is paved with additional bloodshed. It's a hell of a movie, and most critics don't wish to explore these aspects of it. It all just flew over their heads, like so much flying human refuse. It's apparent that Frank and Julia represent dark, forbidden relationships and lust. However, their attraction is so strong that it almost becomes love. Almost. Not quite.
We have such sights to show you.
Yeah, I don't think it's love. No way. It seems they can only be together if they're damned and if things are wrong in the world and with them. So in a way, their relationship is one of the most interesting aspects of the film. It's fucked up is what it is. That's what it is. To emphasize this point, Frank is revitalized a bit more every time she brings a man home to the attic. There she kills them and lets Frank feast on their flesh.
What's your pleasure, sir?
the power of attraction and trickery blend together with death, consumption, and rejuvenation. It's a bit silly, but it makes me think of the infamous Venus flytrap. Julia, then, is like the sweet nectar utilized to attract bachelors, who are like mere insects. Actually, it's a bit similar to The Little Shop of Horrors, the silly story about a flower shop employee feeding people to his plant. In fact, every incarnation of that story even has S&M elements. In the first film, Jack Nicholson appears as a masochist visiting the dentist, deriving great pleasure from the sadistic dentist drill. What would Hellraiser be without its Cenobites? Obviously, you have Doug Bradley as Pinhead, Nicholas Vince as the Chatterer, Simon Bamford as Butterball, and Grace Kirby as the female Cenobite.
Demons to some, angels to others.
In Clive Barker's mythos, the Cenobites are a group of extra-dimensional beings who experiment in forms of extreme sadomasochism as part of a religious devotion to hedonism.
Now, it is time to play.
Whoa. The Cenobites get involved with Kirsty Cotton in her quest to defeat Frank and Julia, who also killed Kirsty's father, Larry. While not the foremost stars of the original Hellraiser, the Cenobites nevertheless have a commanding presence, with their presence being mandatory in every other series installment. Yeah, Hellraiser and Cenobites go together like ham and eggs. You can't not have Cenobites in a Hellraiser movie. What I like most about them is their mysterious nature. They seem to feel a sense of duty, of obligation in their pursuits. The blending of pain and pleasure is indeed something sacred to them. I also like how Pinhead is willing to bargain with someone. That makes him unique among horror villains of his caliber. Of course, he's always bargaining with other people's lives, but what greater stakes are there in the world of sheer self-indulgence that is hell?
We have eternity to know your flesh.
And you are listening to EMZT Radio.
Can you handle midnight movies 24 hours a day?
Your death will be indescribable.
Find out on Black Flag TV. The first viral television on the web. Black Flag TV is entirely dedicated to haunting horror, science fiction, and cult movies. Broadcasting live, 24 hours a day, obscure independent movies and classic horror. Make Black Flag TV your sanctuary for the horror genre.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Visit us now, blackflag.tv.
Your mind it is full, and your life may be short, but never is it dull. Climb inside a little plastic bag, it gives you life like you never had. From little drink straight up your nose, yeah, life is so rosy when you're stoned. Tell you things that you already know, like everything you take is so bad for you, but you're gonna die eventually, whatever you do, because
MJ is going to absolutely love this. From 1428elm.com, Toxic Avenger 5 promised by Lloyd Kaufman to be best one yet. Lloyd Kaufman says a fifth Toxic Avenger film is currently in the works, and he's promising Troma fans it's going to be the best one of the series. The first superhero from New Jersey will soon make his return. Back in 1984, Lloyd Kaufman and Michael Hertz released perhaps the greatest film ever to be made under the Troma banner, The Toxic Avenger. The instant cult classic was a big hit with horror fans, and a franchise was born. Ultimately, three film sequels would be made, as well as a cartoon spinoff called Toxic Crusaders. Kaufman providing an update on Toxic Avenger 5 in a new interview with SFX. Quote, Fans can expect more low-budget action with the usual trauma mix of girls, guts, and gruesome gore. Toxie is going to go to Chernobyl in this one, end quote. I think it's going to be damn near impossible to top the original film, though I still can't wait to see this. As a sequel to Citizen Toxie, the new film takes place 20 years after the events of that movie, with Toxie's two children all grown up. The script, which Kaufman worked on with Guardians of the Galaxy director James Gunn, and Kaufman adds in the interview he feels it's the best one yet. Kaufman also provides an update on the planned Toxic Avenger reboot, claiming it's in development hell. Conrad Vernon is attached to helm the film, should it ever get made. We don't have an official release date yet, and it's pending further updates from Kaufman. But as a longtime Troma fan, I'm already pretty stoked for this one. Stay tuned for future updates on this progress. And you are listening to EMZT Radio.
Oh yeah, I forgot. You still prefer your cat to the real thing.
At least the cat comes back.
Waiting to hurt me here, and there's something. uncontrollable. Oh God, God, I need to control this total uncontrollable sicko.
Beaumont Bob from Bungmouth Bobcat. You can listen to me live every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern at sfdradio.com, where I'm bringing you the best of the worst in cheap booze, talking bum wine, beers, 40s, malt liquor, and more. Always featuring the latest and greatest in the world of drinking and entertainment, along with some special guests. So come on down and take a ride with Bumwine Bob. If you can't be there live, you can always listen in the archives at bumwinebob.com. So sit back, relax, grab a drink, and enjoy. Cheers.
Felt so perfect, seems so right. You had planned to go off in the night. Felt so perfect, seems so right. Where has he gone tonight?
from 1428elm.com, should Ken Foray have stayed dead in Leatherface? Leatherface, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3, is a great sequel. At the end, Ken Foray comes back from almost certain death. But should he have? Leatherface, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3, has a lot of villains, but only one true hero. Throughout the history of horror, there have only been a handful of true heroes. While final girls often get the upper hand against villains, there are only a few true heroes of horror. Nancy Thompson, Dr. Loomis, Tommy Jarvis are some who come to mind. While the Texas Chainsaw Massacre has Lefty Enright from the first sequel, Leatherface, the second sequel, has Benny. And Benny is the man, because it's Ken Foray. He's awesome. If you're a huge fan of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre franchise, you'll know how awesome Benny truly is. Going toe-to-toe with Bubba, Benny radiates decent energy and heroism. With horror legend Ken Foray bringing him to life, Benny isn't simply trying to survive. He's trying to get everyone to safety. It's a wonderful character bringing audiences to their feet, hoping he can kill these sick bastards once and for all. That's until he dies. Or does he? While shooting Leatherface, the original plan was to have Benny die. While Foray brings the character to life in exciting, completely unexpected ways, the script called for Benny's death. But when New Line Cinema forces Jeff Burr to screen test, audiences want Benny to live, and a new ending is shot. If you remember the 1990 sequel, you'll recall Benny makes a surprising return to the fold and saving the day one last time. It's a great moment, but the question still remains. Should he have returned? While we love Benny, we're not sure he should have returned. One of my favorite characters in horror, when Benny gets it, I hurt. The problem is bringing him back without reshooting his initial death hurts the credibility of the film. It's entirely obvious he dies in the battle with Leatherface, but due to the studio wanting to appease ticket-buying customers, he comes back with only a scratch on his head. It's a seriously idiotic move, insulting viewer intelligence. Yeah, that didn't make sense to me, because he did die. I mean, it was frickin' obvious. He didn't get out of the cock-a-doodie car! This is New Line's fault. Director Jeff Burr or the studio should have sensed how audiences would take to Benny. With horror being deadly dark, Leatherface being one of the more pitch-black sequels in horror, fans gravitate towards characters bringing light. And with the talents of Foray, it's obvious audiences wouldn't like the man dying. They should have known. Good God, they should have known. And with the way the film stands, he shouldn't have come back. Yeah, because, I mean, it'd be great that the black man gets to live through a horror movie, but he did get nailed pretty good. So, that's just one of the horror rules. Because he was black, he's supposed to die. And that's what they originally had, because it was following the rules. But you did feel good knowing that Benny lived. But you wondered how, because he was nailed pretty harshly. So, anyway, you make up your own mind. And you are listening to EMZT Radio.
If I owned this place in hell, I'd rent this place out and live in hell.
Hello, horror fans. My name's Douglas McCambridge, and along with my co-host Jamie Lorello, we run a podcast called Good Times, Great Movies, where we review movies from the craziest decade, the 1980s. In October, we do horror movies and horror movies alone, so we're reaching out to you, the listener / horror fan, to recommend movies you want to hear us talk about. Tweet to us at GTGMcast, find us on Facebook, listen to the podcast, Good Times, Great Movies. Let us know what horror movies from that decade you want us to talk about. If we choose yours, you win a prize. It'll be something awesome. Blu-rays. That's what I'm going to say. All right, hope to hear from you.
Okay, well, that's wrapping up another episode of EMZT Radio.
Oh, man, and we left some of the best news stories for last.
Yes.
If you're in the UK, you're going to want to go check out HorrorCon in the UK, and the special guest, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to love this. Dario Argento, Jeffrey Combs.
Yes.
David Werner. I don't know why I always say Werner every time I see Warner.
I don't know.
That's weird. Barbara Crampton.
Woo.
Everybody wants to meet Barbara Crampton because she's so awesome.
She's more beautiful now than in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Billy Wirth is going to be there. Mm. Claudio Simonetti. Dee Wallace and Graham Humphreys.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
All gonna be there. If you're in the Sheffield area, it is May 19th and the 20th. To check that out, please.
Oh, yeah.
And if you went, say something to us on Twitter and give us a reaction.
Yeah, please. I'd like to know, because the UK has the best horror conventions.
Yes. They do. Actually. I wonder if our friend John will be there.
I wonder. That's near his area, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. John, so John Shelton, if you're there and you want to send us a video, we'll put it up on the EMZT site. Of course, you'll probably put it up on yours, but send it to us and we'll upload it on ours as well.
Please.
And link to yours.
I would like to see what a UK horror convention is like. Yeah. I've been to the American ones.
So we'll talk to people and see what they say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I would just bring that one up. Also, I know you Xboxers are getting geeked. Because State of Decay 2, just a couple weeks away now. And it is going to be on. I don't know if anybody has... If you're an Xboxer, you've probably already seen the ad, but it is going to be included on the Game Pass. So if you don't want to plunk down the $29.99 for the State of Decay, or if you don't want to get the Prepper Pack, which is not sold separately, by the way, it's in the Ultimate Edition pre-order, which is $50. Go do that. If you're wondering what's in the Prepper Pack, the Prepper Pack has the Grass Cutter. It may not be in a... I love that. This is the great, one of the greatest descriptions ever. It may not be an immortal blade from an ancient history, but it sure slices through zombies, as it were. The Rami's 5, which is a modern truck with a custom paint job. You'll have a rucksack of materials and a rucksack of food to feed your survivors. There's also 25 boxes of seeds, a facility mod. You'll be starting the game with 6 Molotovs.
Wow.
Yeah, so if you want to plunk down the $50 to get all that stuff, go for it. I think, though, you can also get the Prepper Pack in the normal State of Decay if you pre-buy it, pre-order. I hate that term, pre-order, because you're buying it, you're ordering it.
Yeah.
It just hasn't come in yet. So is it really a pre-order?
Technically, yes, because it hasn't come out. That's so funny. You're buying it before it comes out. So, yeah.
That's a good point.
And it's available on Windows 10 PC.
So you PC Master Race can also play as well. Because we all know we all have to bow down to the PC Master Race. Hey, touted as the very first disaster film to hit Norway, last year's Roar, Uthong directed The Wave. Roar Uthong directed The Wave. Is being excelled because it's anti-Hollywood. Rather than embracing the disaster porn aesthetics of San Andreas, The Wave is wonderfully restrained. The effects took a backseat to human emotion, making it one of the best disaster movies to come along in recent years. Well, according to Screen Daily, The Wave has a sequel.
Of course.
That's a $6.4 million project, sort of a spiritual follow-up to The Wave, inspired by the 1904 Oslo earthquake. The Quake is expected to be released in Norway on the August of 30th, or the 30th of August, whichever way you want to put that, 2018.
Huh.
And I see some pictures of this, and it looks nice.
Oh.
So that should be very interesting. And we This was spotted over at Reddit. So you can go over to Reddit and check this out. MTV presents This Is Horror.
What?
Yeah, do you remember that?
Yes.
Well, it featured for those of you who don't, it featured interviews with Stephen King, Wes Craven, and Brian Yenza. It showed all clips from a handful of horror gems. The special, produced and written by John Simmons, originally aired in 1989. And the Stephen King's portions were actually taped out of a previous special called Stephen King's World of Horror. Mm-hmm. Over at Reddit, they have found someone who put up the entire broadcast on YouTube.
What?
And by entire, I mean, yes, the commercials are involved.
Oh, wow. That'll be dated.
So, there you go. And we talked about Chucky earlier. Remember Cult of Chucky?
Yes.
Well, go to TV. Fiona DeErf, that's the daughter of horror icon Brad DeErf, has landed a role on the Purge television series.
On the Purge television series?
Yes, that's right.
The Purge.
Oh, yes, we don't know about this, do we?
No.
The Purge film franchise will open up an entirely new chapter in America's 12 hours of annual lawlessness, which I'm fully expecting Trump to announce any day now. And an exciting update today reminds us that it's on USA and Sci-Fi. I guess as USA will be directing it, it'll probably end up being on Sci-Fi. The mm-hmm. series cast also includes William Baldwin, Lily Simmons, Amanda Warren, Colin Woodall, Hannah Anderson, Lee Turkson, Gabriel Chavara, and Jessica Garza. Anthony Hemingway will be directing the premiere episode. It's from Blumhouse Television.
Oh my God. Wow.
And Michael Bay is on to executive produce, but we can
which means there's going to be some explosions.
You think? Yeah. Just thought everybody would like to know that's going on, but hey, that's some good news. Wow. They got some new casts for that. I think that's just about going to do it this week, unless you got some more fun stuff.
No, I did it all in the opening.
Oh, there is a new trailer for Revenge. Shudder and Neon are bringing Coralie Farragut's gruesome festival favorite to horror festival favorite Revenge to theaters and video on demand May 11th. Shudder will then add it in the fall. A new trailer has been released that takes aim at males who have been leaving nasty comments on YouTube. Yeah. So there you go. Thought you'd all need to know that.
Wow.
So there you go. Good fun times for everybody. All right. If that's going to do it this week, like and subscribe. You can actually
share with your friends.
Share with your friends. And leave comments in the comment section. Rate us. You can find us on iTunes and Podbean and the other places you can find podcasting stuff. Don't forget the Potter and Family Podblock every Sunday on EMZT Radio. On Live 365, just look us up, EMZT Radio on Live 365. Facebook, Twitter. We don't have a subreddit yet. And Discord. Don't forget Discord. We have a Discord channel.
I just started doing the Google Plus. Yes.
So we're easy to find. Just look up EMZT Radio anywhere you can, of course. Oh, and you notice there was no horror trash this week. Well, that's because we didn't really think about it. If you go to our Patreon and give us $10 a month, you're going to be one of our $10 Patreons on Patreon, which you can find at in the description below. as they say on YouTube. You can find it in the show notes, our Patreon link. $10 a month perk is you can actually help us by nominating horror trash.
Yes, please. Give us some ideas.
And as soon as we start getting to the $20, or well, I guess we'll do it with the $10 people as well. $10 a month, we'll do our movie night. Movie club! Where you can join us on Discord and we'll watch a movie together and all that other fun stuff. Yeah.
Oh.
We'll have polls and fun stuff for all of you Discord people and all that. So join us on Discord as well. We want to get that chat hopping because eventually we are going to be doing live shows from Discord.
That'll be different.
Where you can interact with us and ask us questions and be stupid. And we'll even give away prizes.
Will we now?
Will we? We will.
Okay.
On that note, I am your friendly neighborhood space pope.
And I'm Bane Hellborn, and stay tuned for another episode of EMZT Radio.
Look at me, Damien. It's all for you.
Movies don't create psychos. Movies make psychos more creative.
Red rum, red.